The views and beliefs in the following program are not necessarily endorsed as the views or beliefs of WTGF Radio or its affiliated ministries.
Welcome to another edition of the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Join our conversation, area code 850-994-3747, or you can go to issuesofliferadio.com.
We sure are glad you joined us today. We're here in the studio with John, who has a little bit of a throat problem today, so he said he's going to bow out, not be too vocal. And, of course, we've got Paul Johnson,
yes,
our co-host, our illustrious co-host with us. And then we have a very special guest in the studio with us today, and that is my beautiful wife. We're giving her a chance for rebuttal of all of the bad things I've said about her,
yes,
on the air.
For those of you who did not believe Brother Dewey could possibly be married, his actual wife is in the studio,
yes,
with us.
Yes, she is. So we've been talking about communications the last couple of weeks and marital relationships. We've been family relationships, and we're going to continue on that theme. And that's one of the reasons, the main reason I have my wife in the studio today, so that she has a... be able to give full disclosure, I guess we could call it.
Well, do we really want that, brother?
Well, I guess we got it whether we want it or not. So, anyhow, we were discussing last week a matter of communications and marriage and things of that nature. I forgot where we ended up. Do you remember where we ended up?
We kind of segued over to children and you know, and proper communication with children, but we can always...
We're going to get back around to husband and wife communications, and we'll bring my wife into the discussion here in a bit. But first of all, I want to give you something.
Hold on, I want that. What is it?
You can't have it. Now, this is nobody in the studio can get this, and that includes you.
Why can't I just call in and get it?
And because you're sitting right here, and we're going to give it away today. And you can't have your wife call in either. But anyway, Mark Lowry... Some of you, I guess most of you know who Mark Lowry is. I wouldn't know unless I had had some kind of a contact on the periphery. But Mark Lowry, a comedian, Christian comedian, is going to be at where?
Brownsville Assembly.
Where?
Brownsville
Assembly on May the 7th. Brownsville Assembly on May the 7th. We have a pair of tickets to that show and a DVD, but you got to call in to get it. If you will call in, and while we're on the air today, we will and request the tickets. You might want to do it right away, but if you'll call in and request the tickets, we'll see to it they get shipped out to you. We need your information. Mark Lowry Show, May the 7th at 7 p.m., and a DVD.
Who's going to be there with him? Lowry. Martins? Martins will be there with him?
Martins are going to be there, so you call. That number to call is 994-3747, and we will see to it that you get the first caller gets the tickets. We only have one pair of tickets and one DVD, and you get both. So,
what if a member of my family just happens to call? You tell me. I hadn't talked to anybody. You're watching me not talk to anybody.
It's called screening. We know your folks.
I'm communicating with my mother-in-law telepathically right now.
Oh, brother. Or you're hoping that your mother-in-law is listening to the radio.
Yeah, that's more to the point, yeah.
Oh, mercy. Anyway, you call and get those tickets. Now let's get back down to business on the subject of communications. Communication in the home. The information that I've read in more than one location regarding family communications and marital communication, that's the number one cause of divorce, the lack thereof or miscommunication, never getting that straightened out. And so we've dealt with that quite a bit. I mean, we've been on it for the last couple of weeks, but it's such an important matter in the home that I think it bears more discussion. All right. Well, it looks like somebody got those tickets. We had a call. Linda Williams called in and got the tickets. So congratulations. We hope you enjoy them. They'll be shipped out to you along with the DVD.
Yeah,
and for all of those who missed it, Paul.
I don't think I'm related to her at all.
You missed it.
Well.
So at any rate, we will continue on our theme today with communications. Now, if it's so important, why do so many people miss it?
Because it's work.
It's work. I think I would agree with that. How about you, Mrs. Mars? Would you agree with the fact that maintaining proper communications is work?
I think a lot of times people just tune you out. They just don't listen.
Would you say that I do that with you occasionally?
I would say yes.
And you're staring the line right in the face. Not that you're a line, Ms. Beck. That's not what I mean. Asking questions like that on the air.
Well, that's important. I think it's important. My wife and I have one of the good things about our relationship is we are completely honest with each other. And everything is out on the table, sometimes in a very loud and hostile manner, but it's all out on the table. And our communications are clear. And so I think it's important that things are that way. Now, not that you fuss and fight, and we don't fuss and fight all that much. Occasionally we do. But I think that it's important to be completely transparent and honest with your spouse. You have any comments along that line, madam? You and I have had an honest relationship for some 24 years. Is it 24 years? How many years have we been married?
23 or 24.
I'm asking you, and you probably don't know. How many years have we been married? We've been married since 1991. That would make it 24 years, right?
You got married when you were 40.
That's correct. Well, it'd be 24 years.
And you're 64. You say you're 64. I mean, you're 64 now, so that's 24 years.
24 years. That's pretty good. I'm glad. Hey, you are a mathematician.
Yeah, see,
I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. But what advice would you give to women out there who have spouses who are not necessarily real? I'm talking about women, and most of the time it's men who clam up. You know, we want to be, you know, I don't know what it is we want to be, but we don't always communicate clearly. You got any advice for anybody, that ladies listening out there?
Well, I think if it's something really serious and you want to get a point across, that maybe just say, I really need to have your full attention. I've got something I need to discuss with you. And usually that sets off where they really want to hear what you have to say now. So more apt to listen, and then you can communicate on that. If you make it known that it's something serious you want to discuss.
All right. What about it just everyday stuff? I mean, most of the time computers and TV take up our attention. Even you and I at home, a lot of times in the evening, each of us will have our laptop looking and doing something and watching TV, and the TV will be on at the same time. That kind of destroys real communication, doesn't it?
Well, probably just say hello.
Earth to Mars.
I know with my sister, when she calls, I don't usually get a word in edgewise with her. So one time I thought, you know, she really never listens to what I have to say. And sometimes I have a need. I want her just to listen. So one time she was in discussion, and I said, well, you know, I went to the doctor and I've got cancer and I don't have long to live. And she just kept right on rattling along. And so when she finally paused, I said, you didn't hear a word I said. I said, it's like what I have to say is not important. Yeah. And then I got her attention when I said that, and I brought to mind what I said.
Yeah.
When I said.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, if you ever said that to me, I can assure you I hear you.
I wonder.
Oh, it's heating up. It's heating up.
Oh, mercy.
Well, you know, most people don't want to communicate because if real communication, and see, it's not that way in our house. I'm not the one who clams up. I'm the one that wants to get it out. You know, maybe it's that way normally, but it's not that way in our house. But real communication, you have to, I mean, you got to be willing to hear some faults about yourself. You got to be willing to hear where your shortcomings are to really communicate. It just can't be about me telling Renita what the problems are with her. You know,
right.
it's got to be able to work both ways. And most of the time, people just don't want to do that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's correct.
Before there can be communication, there has to be a desire to communicate and be forthright and honest and have a mutually beneficial relationship.
Yeah.
Because most, as odd as it sounds, and I've only been married about 7.5 years, most marriages that I've seen and been around, because I was the last one of my friends to get married, and most marriages aren't mutually beneficial. most of the time one or the other gets the short end of the stick, and whoever's getting the short end of the stick gets tired of it, and generally the other one don't want to hear about it. So in order for there to be communication, there has to be a desire to be fair and to be for it to be a mutually beneficial relationship. And I don't think that's the case in most marriages.
I would agree with that. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's true.
It needs to, and for it to be mutually beneficial, I think it would have to come back to what you mentioned to begin with, is it you have to work at it. These kinds of things, proper communications, just don't happen by accident. You know.
And if you look at something basic like love is patient, love is kind, love vaunteth not itself, love is not puffed up. I mean, if you try to have a marriage based on those rules,
yeah,
it's going to work.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's where the work comes in. You know, it's going to work, but the work,
yeah,
that's where the work comes in.
Well, yeah, and there's a saying that's kind of become a cliche, but it really is true. Marriage doesn't necessarily work. You have to work it. It's got to be. I mean, and see, the problem is a lot of times in the workplace, if you're in some sort of corporate job, or you know, we'll be sure to maintain our communication in the workplace. But then when we get home, you know, we'll communicate with our boss, we'll communicate with whomever. But then when we get home, we don't want to communicate.
Right.
We feel like, you know, I've worked all day, I've communicated all day. Now I just want to. And there is a case where you have to approach somebody at the right time. A lot of times, you know, when I first got married, it's not that I didn't need to approach her about something. I just didn't need to approach her right that minute. A lot of times you need to wait until somebody is in a state of mind to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that one of the major parts of communication would be listening. Listening with your heart. I think when you listen with your heart, you're genuinely interested in what that person's having to say. So I think listening is a major part of communicating.
So, listening with your heart, you know, it means you get the sense of the conversation, not just the words.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been in situations when it's gone in one ear and out the other, and
yeah.
that's not a good way for it to be, you know.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and that happens. I mean, that happens. I think to all of us to a certain degree, you know. Even in a day to day conversation, you know, you got people who. Like she mentioned her sister, there are folks that I deal with on a regular basis that like to talk, like the guy accused us of, you know. He said that we like to hear ourselves talk on the radio. And
well, we have to talk when we're on the radio.
Exactly.
We have to talk.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
If we don't talk, we got dead air, you know. So if he don't want us talking, he can call in. You know?
There you go. But anyway, there are people who do like to hear themselves talk. And they don't want to engage in a real conversation. You know, they want to appear to have knowledge and to express their knowledge. But a conversation is two ways, always two ways. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I was thinking, yes, and I was thinking about there's a scripture in the Bible that says how that the Lord is so concerned. He knows, like, every hair on our head. And he knows, of course, he knows he's God. He knows everything. But I think that God really listens to us. And I feel like when I'm pouring my heart out to the Lord, I really think he's listening because he cares.
Absolutely.
And that's the way we need to treat one another, you know, with concern and care for what the other one has to say and what's going on in their heart and their mind.
Yeah,
and to her point, you know, if you love Christ, if I love my wife as Christ loved the church,
yeah,
then that's the way I'm gonna aspire. Now I'm not perfect,
right?
But that's what I'm going to aspire to do, and the way I'm going to aspire to be, insofar as communication with my wife, and it is pretty safe if you marry a good woman. Now if you married a bad one, that's a whole other show, you know. But what about
if she married a bad man?
but that too. I mean, but if you marry a good woman, you pretty much could just do what she asks you to do most of the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And be fine, you know.
Call us, 994-3747. We'll be back after the break. Well, I'm going to ask you some very pointed questions here, madam. Yeah, and we're on the air, and so I'm going to ask you some real pointed questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much have I improved since in the beginning days when we traveled together? And I've already told our audience, not today, but on past programs, that when we first got married, she didn't know I had a sister for the first couple of years. So I would say that's pretty bad communication, right? Have I improved any at all?
Well, if you want to use that as a comparison, probably you went from a 0 to a 10 on that particular thing.
From a 0 to a 10.
But, all right, I'm going to ask a question. Since we're doing this, you know.
Go ahead.
If he doesn't, not using that as a comparison, how well has he improved? So, just as a basic communicator, from the time you married him until right now.
Probably a 6.
A 6? Well, that's pretty good. Six. I'll take that. That's a great improvement.
That's a 50.
Great improvement from a negative 0.
That's a 50. From 0 to 12, a 6 is a 50.
Well, that's pretty good. That's not, to me, my mind, that's not bad. When you didn't communicate at all, you know, I mean, if it takes 2 years for her to learn that I've got a sister, that's pretty bad. I mean, that's the bottom. That's the pits. That's nowhere.
Well, the thing, and I spend a lot of time in the car with him, not as much as you do, obviously, but I spend a lot of time in the vehicle with him. And if he don't want to have a conversation, there's not going to be one.
I understand that perfectly.
Oh, mercy.
When we first got married, we were on deputation, and we traveled a lot. And I did all the talking.
Yeah.
I would make a statement, and I would wait on something to come back, and it would be a yes or no, and that would end. There wouldn't be any conversation about it. It was either a... And so I started thinking, well, how do I ask a question that's not a yes or no? And I still didn't get but maybe a very, very short answer. He never elaborated on anything.
Did you ask him the meaning of life?
And so for the first several years, it was a one-sided conversation. But I learned in that he once told me, of course, you know, you need to learn to listen. And so that taught me as well. That kind of got my attention. Well, maybe I'm not a very good listener. But he really never gave me anything to listen to either. Because it was a one-sided conversation until later. But later on, I did apply that, and it helped me a lot to be able to listen when he talked. When he did talk, that I listened well when he did start talking.
Well, if you don't, and of course, I talk a lot, and unfortunately, I'm known for that. But if you don't learn to listen, eventually people won't care what you say.
Correct.
You know, if you don't learn to listen, they just won't. I mean, I know people that very seldom ever say anything much, but, and I'm thinking of one man in particular. I'm not going to call his name on the air, but he rarely says anything.
But
when he does speak, everybody stops.
Yeah.
When he does speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I have always, I guess, to an extreme. In my youth, particularly, to a very big extreme, I've always probably been considered antisocial. And even in my youth, in my teens, I would be at a party or something of that nature, and I'd just sit around and observe and mostly listen to what people were saying. And if somebody didn't try to engage me in a conversation, it usually wasn't very long. But I would listen. I've always been a good listener. I've felt like I was a good listener in the sense that I just tried to observe everything that was going on and to learn about people from what they said or didn't say even.
Well, I can't walk. So I'm a pretty good. I read people and their mannerisms and their tone of voice because a very small percentage of communication is verbal anyway.
Right.
Most communication is nonverbal. I mean, you can tell a lot by, you know. If somebody says, I love you too, but they say it in a certain tone of voice, they're not saying they love you.
Right.
You know, they're being sarcastic. I mean, so a lot of times, how long does it take a person to answer their pauses, their facial expressions, whether or not they wrinkle their forehead up or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but when I've learned that when you get married, you find out that you're not what you thought you were.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of categories, because, I mean, I knew Renita. By the time we got married, I knew her for almost 13 years, and we'd spent a lot of time together. I mean, a lot of time together. But when we got married and started living in the same house, I found out fairly quickly that I wasn't what I thought I was, you know, and that's just the way it is. And you got to be willing to communicate properly. You got to be willing to be honest about your own faults, like I said, about your own perception. The perception that you have of yourself is probably not accurate.
Yeah. Well, and see, when we got married, we had only known each other a little over a year, I think about it. Well, I think we met like 2 years prior, and then her previous husband passed away, and within that 2 year period, we decided to get married, and we got married. But and most of our kind, we were long distance. She was in Okeechobee, Florida, and I was in New Orleans, and most of our communication was on the phone, you know. And so it was a big jump from her being married most of her life, me never having been married, and so that was a big gap. And then our extreme, both of us had some extremes, you know. And I think maybe everybody does. I don't know what if they were others has been as drastic as ours, but we both had some extremes that we had to iron out. And I learned one of the things that I learned early on was in the first 2 years of our marriage, which were the roughest for us. One of the things that I learned was that she was my responsibility. Her emotional background, her emotional makeup, her, you know, if I no matter what I thought of what she brought into the what was bringing up, whether it was against me or I felt it was against me or whatever it might be, she was my responsibility. Her emotional well-being was my responsibility. I believe that's what the Word of God teaches.
Well, if Renita believes the sky's pink, Then I've got to deal with her from the perspective of the sky being pink. I mean, you got to kind of meet people where they are.
Exactly.
And I might think that where she is just totally bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, but I've still got to deal with her to a certain degree. I mean,
well, I think most of us, especially my generation, my age group, with the John Wayne scenario and the Clint Eastwood and, you know, all
Miss
of the...
Becky's favorite actor, John Wayne.
Oh, for our listeners' sake, that is definitely her least favorite actor. that scenario, though, you know, it's basically that attitude toward the opposite sex and, the lack of consideration that's shown by those old westerns and some of that type of thing, you know. All that enters in. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was just thinking on a couple, or it doesn't matter if it's your child, your husband, friend. I think it's if you're really communicating that when the other person, whomever it is, if it's a spouse or child or whatever, and they've got something going on in their life and they've not actually told you about it, I think you're going to know it. If you really communicate well and there's a problem going on in your spouse's or whoever's life, you should know it. And I think that's why a lot of couples divorce and split up, is because there is some serious issues going on and they don't...
Yeah, they're clueless.
You know, yeah, they're just clueless. I mean, when one of them ups and leaves, it's like it just totally takes them by surprise. Well, they really weren't... They couldn't have been that interested in that mate not to know that there was something going on.
Right, exactly.
I was talking to a fellow one time, and... my wife, this is a long time ago, my wife would have been conversing with his wife, and from her perspective, they had major, major, major issues. But when I talked to him, he's like, we're fine. And I don't know much because I've only been married a few years, but I know that if the gap is that far, there's some major communication issues, and to your point, to be able to notice that there's a problem with your spouse when they haven't even communicated it, that has to do with how attentive you are. That has to do with, you know, paying attention to their moods and paying attention. You know, if they normally talk a lot and all of a sudden they're not talking, or if they're normally happy and all of a sudden they're not happy, you know, that has to do with caring enough about your spouse to know what their moods are.
Would that have something to do with the well of them according to knowledge?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it fits right in there. Yeah, sure.
Also, on that same note with a child, when there's a problem going on in their life, you know, we hear about these horrible things that happen where these young kids go out and shoot up some of their classmates, and the parent doesn't have a clue there's problems going on in that child's life. And like you said, you know, to observe and to notice the changes, because there are little changes that start taking place, and it's just important, so important, whether it be, you know, your spouse or a child or whatever, that you take the time and really notice what's going on and talk to them about it, you know, communicate with them.
And of course, there are also times when the spouse is deliberately manipulating. There may be times when you can't read communication signals because they're purposely putting off false signals. But in most cases, if your spouse loves you and you love them and they're not being manipulative, you should certainly be able to read whether or not they, you know, their moods and things like that. Like I said,
you're listening to the Issues of Life broadcast here on at WTGF 90.5. Call us, 994-3747. Join the conversation. Welcome back. You're tuned to the Issues of Life broadcast today. We're glad you joined us. We meet every Saturday, every Wednesday at 12. I don't know what I was thinking on Saturday, but there's another talk show comes on Saturdays. But we meet at 12 o'clock every Wednesday, and we're glad you joined us. Hope you'll continue to tune in. If you want to be on the program with us today, we'd love to have you. Call us at 994-3747, or you can contact us online. Give us your comments at issuesofliferadio.com, and we'll be glad to respond. Well, we were talking about communications, mainly communication in marriage, and a little bit came in here about deceptive communications. And, of course, I guess in my case, coming from my way lack of communicative background, small talk sometimes irritates me. Now, is that right? I don't engage a lot, and my wife will tell you this, in small talk. What about that?
Well, we've had thousands and thousands of hours of conversation, and I can't think of any small talk we've ever had. I mean, we're generally discussing issues. We're discussing
you and I are talking about. Yeah. We're talking about you and I. I'm talking about my wife is she likes to small talk. What I call small talk.
Well, define small talk.
Just general stuff. Just chatting. Like you and your daughter would do, or like you and your. I listen to when your sister calls. I listen to mainly you not talking when she's because it's to an extreme degree, because her sister just constantly talks and she very rarely gets a word in edgewise. But I just about little things, family situations, and you know, some of it gets into gossip, you know, and that sort of thing. I mean, that type of thing. I've tried to. That's kind of what I consider small talk.
Well, wouldn't you think that if it's important enough for me to talk about it, then maybe it's important and you should listen and reply back?
I think you're absolutely right. Yes, I do. Yeah, because you're important to me. And that makes my learning curve more important, that I have to get up to speed.
Well, I was thinking about the Facebook stuff. Now, if I ever get to that point, just tell me. You know, somebody will post on there, well, I think I'm going to go to Walmart and I may stop by and get a Starbucks. And that stuff literally drives me nuts. So if I ever get to that point, just let me know.
Okay,
dear. That's small talk.
Yeah, you are spending too much time on Facebook. No, I'm kidding.
Well, brother, do it. I don't really know what to say.
I told you we were honest, brutally honest sometimes.
But I think that small talk, I think a lot of times we define small, because I'm not when I'm talking, I might be talking. I'm talking about something that matters to me. I'm not really. I guess I'm not a small talker either.
Well, do you and your wife engage in those times? I mean, how much? You have kids, and I'm sure a lot of your conversations around are about your kids, right?
Sure, sure.
But I mean, beyond that, what kind of small talk do y'all engage in?
Everything that my wife says is awesome. That's my answer.
You coward. You're a cop out.
As yellow as it gets. I'm 8 different kinds of yellow. No, I mean oh, brother, man. we go back so long. I mean, we go back so far. Yeah. We don't have to put on airs. We don't have to put on airs with each other.
Well, you know,
there's not a lot of pretense. There's not a lot of. We go back a long way.
Well, I think, thinking back over these last 24 years, and my wife has suffered due to some of my activity or lack thereof, and she's not been, she has, in a normal relationship, there should have been a whole lot more of what, if I want to call it small talk, there should have been a whole lot more of that. So I have to fess up.
But I mean, but our wives, because I've known your wife a while, our wives are not vapid. They're not empty. They're not going to spend 2 hours talking about nail polish. You know,
not with me listening.
I don't think we have to worry about that the way some of these poor fellas have to. I mean, we're not married to dingbats, so we don't have to. We just don't have to worry about that stuff. I mean, every once in a while, here's what she'll do. She, my sister Amanda, gave her a bunch of clothes for the baby.
Yeah.
And her intro was, "I know you don't care about this," which is correct. I know you don't care about this, but I want you to look at this stuff anyway. So I looked at it. It took me 10 minutes.
Yeah,
I looked at it. I mean, it wasn't a big deal. Right. But she didn't expect. She didn't want me to match skirts and shirts and match shoes. She knows me well enough to know she probably don't need to bark up that tree. It's just it's, you know. So we just don't. We don't have to worry.
There's
about
some
that
things
stuff
you don't get
life
involved in, right?
I mean, and she don't want to hear. And she don't want to hear my thesis on Al Pacino. She doesn't care. I mean, so that, we pretty much have a pretty good understanding.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well.
Well, you know, if you have a friend or a relative, like you were just saying, that it is important to them. It may sound like chit chat to us, but we do need to, you know, out of love, consider what's important to them, even though to us it may be foolish or, you know, not important, but to them it is. So we do need to.
I mean, when she comes to me and tells me that she got a great deal on curtain rods, I'm like, well, that's awesome, babe. And that's all she wants. That's all she wants. She don't want me to show me the curtain rods, how long they are, and how much weight they can hold. And,
well, but my wife gets a great deal on everything.
Yeah, well,
everything she buys, she gets a great deal.
You know, because she's got her discount card, and she'll make sure she's got the perfect amount of ounces for this amount of. I just want a bag of cookies. I don't care what the ounces are. Just bring me the cookies. You know. But if she wants to explain to me the ounces and how much money we save per ounce, I can put up with that if I get the cookies at the end. As long as I get the cookies at the end, I can feign interest.
Yeah, there you go. Feign interest. Oh, mercy. Now, as a woman, do you want feigned interest? But would that be better than no interest at all? Oh, me. She's thinking.
Yeah,
the wheels are turning.
I like to always, when I give an answer, I like to think about the question. I think so.
So you'd prefer feigned interest to no interest?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I learned something today. Hey, we can have our own. This is kind of embarrassing, but we have our own psychological treatments over with everybody. The whole world tuned in.
You know, when you're in Home Depot, and she's explaining to me, we're in Home Depot, and she's explaining to me the different shades of white. All she wants is for me to not be looking at my phone while she's talking. That's all she wants. Just stare straight ahead.
Speaking of that, I want you not to be looking at that phone while we're on the air, unless you're dealing with something that we're dealing with.
I had to handle. I had it out just a minute ago, but it was important. But as long as I'm looking in the general direction of the paint can, she's fine. Now I could be thinking about the score of the football, but I'm not going to say that. I'm not stupid, you know.
No, you're not sincere.
Not at all. No, I'm not sincere at all. But she knows that, and she's fine with it. I mean, as long as I'm looking in the direction.
See,
of the
I can't. Again, I can't be that way. I can't do that.
I
can't do that.
I guess I
can't do that. I have to. I don't know. I have a hard time doing it.
But we have like a deal though. She's not a movie buff. She doesn't care about if I turn on a movie. I'll turn on this classic movie that's one of the greatest movies ever made, and she goes to sleep. All right, she's within 10 minutes. She's asleep. So we have a deal. We'll watch stuff sometimes, but you don't get upset with me over this, and I won't get upset. So we just have an arrangement. She's into deals and saving money and. Do I
have a contract? Build a contract.
I mean, she's into. Yeah. She comes home and tells me, well, I bought this bag of chips as opposed to this bag of chips because I saved this much money per ounce. And I'm like, oh, that's great, babe. I sure am glad you're good with money because I'm glad it's not up to me. And I make a comment. She feels good about it, and I go on about my business. But am I really interested in the price per ounce? Not even close. I don't care. I just want the potato chips.
Our special guest next week will be his wife.
I think she would be okay. I mean, she's working right now. She can't. Well, she might be listening. She might be listening to
Paul just had an epiphany, y'all. He just about fell out of his chair.
So you don't have to worry about it. It's recorded.
But I think she would be okay with what I'm. Think she would characterize what I'm saying, even though I'm throwing humor in there and trying to be funny. She would characterize what I'm saying as fairly accurate. You know?
Yeah. Well, not too many people would have the loco-ness to bring their wife on for brutal honesty as me.
Yeah. I was going to say it's a two-way street because when Dewey's talking about something that has to do with, say, the cell phone, you know, I really could care less. As long as I can call somebody and receive a call, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But to him, it's interesting. So I need to at least listen, even though I don't understand what he's saying and I'm not that interested, at least just listen.
Yeah.
But at times, have you feigned interest?
Of course.
See? So as long as everybody's on the same page.
Okay, well, then I guess since everybody else is dishonest, I need to learn how to be dishonest.
I do, but not that often because I'm brutally honest as well.
Yeah.
Well,
as all of our listeners have observed today.
But, I mean, I think she would say that things that are really important to her, I handle it. I mean, I think she would say that most of the time, I mess up sometimes, but I think most of the time she would say that things that are genuinely concerned about, like, you know, if we have to determine what we're going to do with a wall or what, you know, things that I really have to focus on because we're going to be spending money and things that matter beyond the cost per ounce of something.
Right.
You know, because she's real big on that cost per ounce stuff. Hmm. But things that genuinely matter, I think that she would say that I pay attention to those things.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Would you say I pay attention to those things? I'm going to stop asking you these questions on the air.
Yeah, for the most part, I think you do.
I think so, as far as things that I think matter. Yeah absolutely.
Sure,
I wouldn't.
Listener, for the most part.
And the point here is we married great women. We married but they married some pretty good guys, too. I mean, I'm a pretty good fella.
I get this on a regular basis.
She
was about to quote.
But I know how to treat my wife. I mean, I know how to treat my wife appropriately. I'm not going to be purposefully hateful or mean to my wife. I mean, you just got to treat each other right.
Thank you for tuning in today. You've tuned in to the Issues of Life broadcast. We trust that as we enter this last segment that you've enjoyed the program thus far and you'll continue listening. And call us, 994-3747. Welcome back. You've joined the Issues of Life broadcast today, and we're sure glad you joined us.
We're talking about communications in family matters, and especially, particularly in marriage. And so maybe you have a comment. You've listened to the program. Maybe you have something to say in this last segment. Call us, 994-3747, or you can contact us online, issuesofliferadio.com. We were talking about feigned responses, and you both seem to have agreed that you'd prefer feigned response to no response.
Yeah, but that's when in context. I mean, it's a playful thing. It's not like a nefarious or manipulative thing. It's something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's going to pretend to be interested in, you know, a 50-year-old Marlon Brando movie that she don't care anything about. You know, she's gonna pretend to be, and it's kind of a joke between us. Well, I know you don't really want to. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Let's get the popcorn. You know, I mean, you know, but it's not like a dark and sinister thing. It's just
right.
Kind of a playful, jokey yeah. type thing. You know.
Yeah, and I guess maybe there is some type of because we do it socially all the time.
Yeah,
I mean you if you're in business, I mean if you're in a social relationship or a business setting, you know, and you're talking to your boss, then you're certainly not going to frown while he's talking about his favorite subject. You know.
Yeah, I mean.
So we can use the word lying, and I don't know if it would apply or not, but. I think feigned response in that sense would probably be more correct, and those are some of the things I've always had difficulty with that maybe I need to adjust.
Well, you know, if you always say what you're thinking, I mean, if there's no filter, I mean, you're not going to go very far. I mean, you got to know what's appropriate. You got to know what the setting is. You got to know who. Like I said, I mean, if your boss just got through having a tuna fish jalapeno sandwich, and he's standing 6 inches away from you. You know,
you want to be careful about your facial expressions.
You can't say exactly what you're thinking necessarily.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I think the same thing would apply in marriage. I mean,
what about it, Mrs. Mars? I see those wheels turning over there.
Actually, I was thinking about that tuna fish and jalapeno. That sounds like a pretty good combination.
Oh, brother.
Oh.
Oh, mercy. Oh, man.
Everything I just said, she's thinking about
yeah,
the sandwich.
Now you see why we have communication problems.
Maybe she, Miss Becky, are you like me? Have you not had any lunch? Because I'm hungry. Every time I come over here, I've
all every week he's hungry. Every week. I wish he had learned to eat a late breakfast or something.
Hey, I had a piece of peanut butter cake today.
Peanut butter cake.
It's more than we had.
Before my boys smelled it from across the house, you know, I had some peanut butter cake. But, yeah, I just think, I mean, I think it's just these people that say, well, I'm going to be who I am and I'm just going to say whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That's foolish. You got to know.
It goes too far.
You know,
right.
that's what Carson does, and he's four.
Right.
You know.
Right.
He looks at me, well, you're old, Daddy. I mean,
yeah.
Well, he's got to learn one day he can't say that to people.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's not very mature to live like that, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's where discretion comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, sure.
So, the Proverbs speaks a lot about it. It has to do with the woman and, let's see, I can't remember the scripture now, without discretion.
Right. A woman without discretion is like a...
A dog by taking a dog by the ears or something?
No.
The woman, a sow with a bow on is or something like it is like a woman without
discretion. Well, y'all are butchering the scriptures today, I'm telling you.
I mean, and I just read that a few days ago.
Yeah.
Well, I think discretion would come into this with communication.
Yeah.
You know, to know when to say and how to say it.
Yeah, certainly it's important to know when to say. Anyway, the one verse you're looking at is... a jewel of gold and a swine's snout is like a fair woman without discretion.
I know it has something to do with a pig. I know it did. But just take us, for example. I come from a background with Ronnie Dawson, Mac Johnson, and Raymond Johnson, Dewey Mars, Joe Sollers, Robert. I mean, I come from, and if you did something stupid, they would just tell you did something stupid. That's just the way. I was brought up that way,
yeah,
you know.
But you wouldn't want to go home and tell your wife that she's stupid.
No, I'm not saying that. But my wife, on the other hand, I have to be very careful, you know, because she does not handle criticism all that well. And she would say that if she were sitting here. I'm not talking out of school.
Right.
you know, so I can't. And she thinks that, you know, when I tell her, well, my daddy said I was the Baskin Robbins of stupidity. I was 31 different kinds of stupid. I mean, she just thinks that. I think it's funny. I mean, it's a great line. I've used it.
Yeah.
Anytime, you know, but she.
You hadn't used it with her, though.
No, I haven't. No, I have not. But she is just appalled that anybody would say that to another human being. She just can't even understand it.
Yeah.
You know, and she's overheard some of our more heated conversations when my voice is elevated and she assumes your voice is elevated. and then 10 minutes later, I'm telling you a joke.
Right.
She don't even comprehend that.
Right.
So I've got to meet her where she is.
Yeah. And I think that just comes into where all of what we've been talking about today is that you deal with different people different ways.
Yeah.
And so maybe we could change the tune from being feigned response to just being educated response. You know how you can, and if you don't know, and if there's a gap somewhere. Like if there's a gap between she and I, then I need to make up that gap. I need to find out where I'm missing it and get on the right page with her, so that I respond to her like she needs to, not necessarily like she wants me to respond, but like she needs me to respond.
Well, you know, I took an interpersonal communications class. It was one of the most interesting classes I ever took, and the motto was that one cannot not communicate. That even the guy who's in a coma, if no one comes to see him in a month, he's communicating. He's probably not a very popular individual. Mm-hmm. Even though he's laying there in a coma, he's still communicating an idea about himself. On the other hand, if the lobby's full every day of people wanting to check on him, then he was probably a pretty well-liked, you know, individual. And also, whenever two people are talking, when you and Miss Becky are talking, or when me and Renita are talking, there's the person that I actually am. There's the person that she actually is. There's the person that I want her to think I am. And there's the person that she wants me to think she is. And there's the person that I think she thinks I am. And there's the person that she thinks that. But there's all these different. Even though there's only two people talking, there's all these different motives going on, and all these different perspectives are swirling back and forth. You know, I want her to think about me a certain way. She wants me to think about her a certain way.
Right.
And then I have a perception in my mind of she thinks I'm this way. And if that's wrong.
Yeah, well, you have just taken communications to a level that nobody can communicate.
That stuff involved.
All of that goes through your mind, and you don't even realize it's going through your mind.
Yeah.
You don't intentionally want it, but it's just there. That's just,
right.
That's true. It's a lot. He said a lot, but that does happen every time you communicate with someone.
So it's not just two people communicating. It's all these because, like, she's mentioned to me a few times in our marriage that I change my mind a lot. All right? So if I go into a conversation assuming that, well, she already thinks I changed my mind a lot, and she may not have even thought about it. It may not have even crossed her mind on that particular day. But I'm already on the defensive. I go into the conversation on the defensive because I have a perception that I think she thinks of me.
Right.
Which she may or may not be thinking.
Okay, so all right, what's the solution to this situation? I mean, if you come in with preconceived ideas in a position of trying to communicate, and you isn't that where you miscommunicate sometimes? You
sure.
know, you think you respond to her like, she's thinking this. Well, you don't know what she's thinking. You know, in reality, we assume things that are not correct. So what happens is we miscommunicate.
Yep.
See, I remember in the early days of our marriage, we communicated in some very high volume, like I've stated in the past, you know, and a lot of arguments. But when we got down to real communication was after the fact, when we tried to find out where each other was in reality. And we would connect at that point. You know, we stopped miscommunicating and began to connect. And isn't that right? I mean, do you agree with that statement?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and so real communications is when you connect, not all this, you know, the assumptions and the innuendo.
But that's the point, though. You have to quiet that little voice in your head. And however analytical you are depends on the amount of voices you're going to have in your head. Me, I got a whole choir.
My wife does too.
I analyze everything. I analyze and overanalyze and reanalyze it and reanalyze, turn it on its head, turn it on its side.
Yes,
So the
believe me, I know.
So the key is you have to have enough discernment to say, I love this person and they love me, if it's a marriage.
Yeah.
I love this person, they love me. And the degree to which you communicate effectively will be the degree to which you can quiet those voices. They're always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that, the way you put that. That's pretty good. That's clear. You know, you got to calm all that's superficial stuff down and get down to where you actually connect. And I think that's what you were saying in the beginning of our conversation today, that, you know, you want to know that I'm listening, right? You want to know that I'm hearing,
yes,
not just the words you're saying, but you want to know that I'm getting your feelings. I'm hearing you at where you are. And the times that we communicate, that you and I genuinely communicate, is when we both get on that page. You're hearing my heart, I'm hearing your heart, and we both are on the same page there. Well, I see we're winding down to the last minute of time, and it's been a good conversation today. I've enjoyed all the comments that have been made, and the
and you survived.
Confession is good
good
for the soul, I guess.
Yeah.
So we appreciate our listeners tuning in today. I trust you've enjoyed the broadcast. You can contact us anytime if you have a comment or a question about anything. Just send us your email, your comments to issuesofliferadio.com, and we will get back to you.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Lord willing, we'll be back with you at this same time next week.
The views and beliefs in the previous program are not necessarily endorsed as the views or beliefs of WTGF Radio or its affiliated ministries.